Matthew's Gospel 28. On Sunday, we began to share on supernatural living. Is that it? Every day. Is that it? Praise the Lord. So let's just continue in that light. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. Supernatural living every day. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority in heaven and in earth is given to me. And then we said that that text is a Genesis 1:1 interpretation. In other words, Jesus summarizes Genesis 1:1 as himself. That is, this has been, that prophecy has been fulfilled in me. Heaven and in the earth is the temple. The temple where God dwells, which is the Logos. The Logos became flesh and dwelt amongst us. John 1:14, that is, the Logos became flesh. Logos, ginomai, sax, and dwelt amongst us. That is the word kines, which is kinet, which is the word tabernacle. And so heaven and earth finds itself in fulfillment in Christ. So when it says, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth, that is, in his resurrection, he assumes the heaven and earth reality of Genesis 1:1. And so we said that in his incarnation is heaven and earth, in the sense of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The word became flesh. The logos of the entire scriptures became flesh and dwelt amongst us. What's the logos? The logos is God has found his rest in man. Genesis 2, 1-3, in the day which God created the heavens and the earth, the heavens and the earth and the host of the earth were finished. And then it says on the seventh day, which is an interpretation, it's a figure of speech, the seventh day God rested, and then he sanctified that day, which is two words for the temple. Rest, which is where he dwells. Sanctified, the word kwadash, which is where you have something that is separated unto him. So the seventh day, the rest, the temple, all belong to God. Heaven and earth belong to God. The seventh day belong to God. The rest belongs to God. Doing that study for a while, if that's like a new song in your ears, I can tell how many times you've been to church for a while. We've done all that explanation. So that's the word. When he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, and he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In other words, what you are going to teach all nations is, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He's heaven and earth. He's God in man. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, where you have the word mathetes, mathetuo, which is to make men students. Also you have it as mathetes, where is the pupil. Then verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always till the end of the age. So we said, the word I am with you is repeating verse 18. I am with you, where you have the word Yahweh. I am that I am, I'll be what I'll be. And that is God's redemptive work in a person, that is in the person of Jesus Christ. I am that I am, I'll be that I'll be. So he closes that statement in Matthew's account by saying, I am with you always. And so where was that promise made and fulfilled? We looked at John 14. I'm only rehearsing what I taught on Sunday. John 14, 1 and 2. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, which are Oikia, and that means Moses' temple was to prefigure two things, God's dwelling and God's family. God's dwelling, God's family, and then beneath that is God's service to humanity. Now I need to, again, pre-warn, I had to share with someone today, for God, some of you who are pastors, not necessarily some of you are pastors, to be tempted to teach like this on Sunday. You are going to wound your hearers. You need to take your time. It's not time to do a series on how to preach or how to interpret the book of Genesis. Relax. Or how to study the Old Testament in the light of Christ. Please relax. Start with reality of Christianity. Okay? Take it easy. Because you need to not push people over the cliff. Because you want to prove a point. Don't prove a point with a pulpit. No. Be systematic. Be systematic. Begin where you should begin. And continue where you should continue. Don't try to push people across the cliff. Some people are under the temptation because they know some of their flock probably have access to Living Word Media, so they want to match it. Don't bother your head. Many things, and ask members of Saints Covenant Church and their pastors as well, many things is when the pastors re-explain them that is clear to many people. And so you don't give yourself that unnecessary harm. I just said to say that so you won't hurt people. I remember their brother like that. He heard something from a meeting. And that meeting, I was there. And myself and my friends, we had a challenge with the man's interpretation of Psalm 24. That was in 1997, I want to believe. It has to be 97. And then we had an interpretation of that scripture. So we were talking about, but he was there. And I'd known him for, we used to call it HSN. I sounding nonsense. One day like that, you know, let's even forget his history, because his history is a bit worse than what I'm about to say. So the man obviously interpreted Psalm 24 that Jesus was going to heaven for the first time. And so when he was going to heaven for the first time, he said, "Lift up your head, O ye gates," talking about his resurrection, redemption, a wonderful drama. And then he now showed his strength and power and displayed his greatness before the angels. The gate was opened and an angel asked, "Who is the King of Glory?" and stuff like that. Don't bother about that. So while we're still a bit piqued by that kind of interpretation, this fellow, who was ready to impress his congregation, now went to have a meeting. Now I was to preach in the meeting for him. I think he's 97. Or is it 96? I'm not sure, one of those students. So he went to teach. So I was present there. He said, "Let me show you something." That's how he opened to Psalm 24. He said, when Jesus got there, the angels did not recognize him. He said, "Lift up your head, all ye gates." He was giving a command. They asked him, "Who is this King of Glory?" So he just came and then beat up all the angels. The Lord who is mighty in battle. I'm not joking. I thought he was joking. But he was sharing a depth of revelation. And that's what you do to people when you are in a hurry to teach. I boast less, but in this I can say it. I have been handling Bible theology longer than some people were born in this audience. It means that there is a level of experience that I will have that you might not have. You might have it, I'm just giving a perhaps. It's not necessary, it's true. So I was sharing with a brother one day, just last week. I said, "Do you have a borderline to your theology?" He said, "I don't understand." "You don't know what it is?" I said, "You will soon become an atheist." You need to understand that in study. So you be calm. You be patient. And I told you about self-control. The writers of the four Gospels already had the epistles in circulation. They had read Paul, they had read Peter, but they did not in any way write that in their synoptic. That is a level of discipline. It's the same way Luke knew about being sons of God and the Spirit dwelling in us. He didn't write it at all. In other words, you can learn love self-control. I shared with you how I heard something as well. I wasn't sure what it was, and I came to our church service, fellowship meeting, in the evening of that day, and I began to see it. And a sister told me, "What you're saying?" She showed me a verse of scripture. I felt like collapsing because I didn't think it through. Because there was nothing in my sermon that day that had any relation with what I heard in the morning. But I had to bring it down. It had to be put inside. to show that I have depth. Be careful. There is no... Anytime people teach like that, they tire out easily. There's no... I've told you there are two streams. There's someone who is learning because he's preaching. And there's someone who is preaching because he's learning. It's not the same thing. Whenever you are learning just because you are preaching, you are never going to be exact in your presentation. You are never, because you are not learning to understand it. But when you are preaching because you are learning, what you teach is an outflow of your understanding. And much of Bible truth is not understood in the service. It's not even understood the week after or 2 weeks after. There was something I taught recently, and then I had to tell some of your pastors, I said, I taught this in camp meeting 2006, the glory of God. And they said, hey. I said, I taught it in 2006. That's a while back, right? The truth about the blood of Jesus not being shed, like we would call a physical object. What's that teaching again? On the new covenant, the blood in 2007. Who can remind me? There's a teaching like that. Covenant in his blood. What we're teaching in the book of Romans is in the doctrine of righteousness, 2006. So he's not, try and be patient in Jesus' name. Even those who are there are saying, they were there. It was about 16 series, right? At this hall, what do you call FBFM. Don't know what FBFM is. FBFM is where we had, it's not teaching like that. That's where we started So Great Salvation. That's where we started So Great Salvation, 2006 or so. Huh? Concerning spirituals too. FBFM. You know what FBFM is? You don't know. FBFM is not far from here. So relax. Praise God. Take it easy. Amen. When you go for follow-up, don't do law in Genesis. See, do you know that that was not what Moses was writing about? That means your Bible is a fraud. Someone was telling me it was an allegory in evangelism. I did not need to hear allegory when I got saved. Neither did you. Praise the Lord. Okay, are you clear? So relax, right? I just told you. I was sharing with the pastor yesterday about the manifestation of the Spirit. And I said, the first time I taught it was 1996. He said, hell! I said, exactly. So relax. Praise the Lord. You know that whatever I taught then, I'm way better explaining it today. Even me. Do you get it? So, cool down. There are building blocks in Bible teaching. Building blocks. If you've taken any of our books and listen well to our teaching, you notice that I'm never in a hurry to a conclusion. They are building blocks. Some people want to start from that conclusion. This is a wrong way of explaining anything. You leave people hanging in the air. You know how you put someone in a parachute and you think it's high, but the thing is going to go off soon because you never build anything under it. The guy just says, it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. So it's just hanging. He said, character of God. Character of God. Anything that is not in Christ is not in the Old Testament. So it's hanging in the air. Till he begins to read. And he reads. He gets to a point. Then the parachute goes up. Boom. Then it comes down. And it's more dangerous if you took him to space, to the moon. He won't freeze. He will disappear. So take it easy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How did I get here now? Allahu Akbar. Matthew 28:18. All right, so heaven and earth there will be Jesus teaching from Genesis 1:1. That's bringing in the temple truth. Why am I saying this today? Because over the months, over the years, I have laid the foundation for you to understand scripture this way. Is that very clear? Right. Now, Jesus now said, "Lo, I'm with you." Okay, I'm back to John 14:2, right? That's where I was really. In my Father's house, which is his, in my Father's house are many mansions. House there is oikia. Oikia is a dwelling, family dwelling. In other words, the temple was meant to be a figure of speech of a family dwelling. It wasn't meant for God, it was meant for his family. In other words, he will be the temple of his family will be his temple. There will be a union. Today is called the body of Christ. So when it says, in my Father's household, there are many mansions, the word there is the word mone. I told you the difference between mone and mino. Mone means where someone is traveling on a journey, then he suddenly stops, then he goes into a restroom, or what you call a guest room, or what you call a guest place, or, you know, an inn. And he goes in there to take a nap, and so on and so forth. But he doesn't go there to not do anything. He goes there to continue activity. So in my Father's household are many places where he wants to continue his activities. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. And so he stretches that conversation to verse 16 in that day. Now ask my Father, he will give you an allos parakletos. On Sunday, I explained the word allos parakletos to you. By using the word allos, that means the allos parakletos is the mone he was referring to. That is the same, call it standby, call it source, call it place, call it, you know, strength, all right? That the same allos parakletos. Alright? That is what I've been talking about. This is the same allos parakletos, that he may abide with you. Where is he going to abide? How is he going to abide? In the mone where he continues his activities forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, 17, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. You know him, for he dwells with you, verse 17, and he shall be in you. In that day, verse 20, you will know, I am in the Father, I am in you, and you are in me. So, that's the background of Matthew 28:18-20. That's just two verses, that explains or reiterates what is in John 14, verse 1, verse 2, maybe verse 3. Then you go to verse 16, 18, 19 to 20. In other words, what I said is now true. Lo, I am with you, okay, always. And we said the word lo is where you have behold, orao. Look at it well. Orao is often used for perception. Perceive it well is not just for what you call optical sight. That is, I'm looking at something. You know, let me show you something that I'm not too good at. I'm not too good at computer things. Right? Many times when it happens, I call Brodan. I think he's the next person I usually call. Come and help me solve this. Help me do this and all that. So, the things he sees, he just sees it. I can be looking at it like this. I can even tell you what is written, but I may not perceive it well. So, the word lo is look at it and perceive it well. I am with you. So the way we can perceive it well is to see him dwelling in us in the Spirit. Dwelling in us in the Spirit. In other words, when it says, lo, I'm with you, it means be conscious of my indwelling. So we said on Sunday, for example, that when he says, make disciples. And I showed you, I said, in the Jewish tradition, a disciple is a child that most of the time begins to learn under a master, a tutor, at the age of 6. By the time he's 12, 13, 14, he's meant to have, you know, a level of insight, expertise that he learns from his master. That's why most of Jesus' followers, or in this sense his apostles or his disciples, they were all young boys, and obviously the ladies as well. So he says that make disciples. And he, look at the pattern of his disciples. I showed you some ago on Sunday, I repeat myself. That you look at the four synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew writes 28 chapters according to the translators. Now we have just two chapters that didn't talk about his ministry alone. Matthew 1 and 2. From Matthew 3 to 28, it's about the servant Jesus, who is the Son of God. Then Mark doesn't give you any background, goes straight to the servant Jesus, who is the Son of God, through to chapter 16. Luke gives you two chapters, just chapters about the angel came, Mary, and so on and so forth. Mary prophesied, Elizabeth prophesied, and then you have Zachariah prophesied, and it's still about the same thing. From chapter 3 to chapter 24, it's about the Son who is serving. Now, in John, from the very first chapter till the last, is the Son who is serving. In other words, if you are learning about Jesus, you are at least learning 90% about Jesus, the servant of God. You cannot learn from Jesus outside his service. I said that on Sunday. Saying that for a while anyway. So, I want to be like Jesus in my life. Then you ask yourself, what was he doing for you to be like Jesus? You have to check Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So, he isn't making disciples. Now, for example, he's not making disciples of carpenters. Though he was one. Let me even shock you. He's not even making disciples of Jews. Even though he was one. He wasn't doing that. Neither is he making disciples of fathers, great parents, even though he should be one in the sense of spiritually speaking. No. What he discipled people over was what he was doing. So that means all the 12, never forget, they were not called apostles till his resurrection. And the one who called them apostles in his resurrection was Luke. That's a fundamental information. They were called his disciples. And Luke's narrative and then the four gospels narrative, which is an afterthought, is where they were called apostles. So they were his disciples. So within the training, he sent them out. In other words, the boys' news. You can call them his evangelists. In that training, he told them to teach, and they taught. In that training, he called them prophets. In that training, you know. In that training also, he said he sent them out. And in that training also, he called them shepherds. He said, I see sheep without shepherd. Matthew 9:35, 36, 38. So that means what he's building in them is what he was doing. He was building that in them. So by the time in his resurrection, the apostles became the examples. In other words, this is the example of discipleship. The way Jesus discipled them into ministry, which Paul highlights as the apostolos, prophetes, apostolos, prophetes, evangelizo, and then he has the word poimen didaskalos. In other words, he prefigures the things Jesus did in the four gospels, which he built in his disciples and became examples to the church today. So that's the pattern. He builds what he's doing in them. In the 40 days, he does the same. So they set the same examples in the book of Acts. And so they had disciples. Disciples became prophets, teachers, apostles, and so on and so forth. Eventually in their functions and so on and so forth. So now, basically, by saying, make disciples of every nation, he set a pattern that they should follow. That's fundamental. Now, in on Sunday, sorry, we said therefore, by saying, "Lo, I'm with you always," he's talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. Never forget that. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of God. Right? For the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's why you're a temple of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in the resurrection, Christ rose from dead, dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. Same truth. Now, also that we said, four things. Hope you remember. Remember the four things? You remember the four things we said? You remember the four things we said? Number one. Number one. What's it? Be what? Don't pretend you're writing anything. Answer my question. Number one. Be born again. Pray in the Spirit. Number one. You have to pray in the Spirit today. Huh? Be what? Feed. Feed on what? Feed on the Word. Was that the first thing? Are you sure? What's the second one? Sunday is 3 days ago. Or 4 days. Let's start again. Number one. Feed on what? Number two. Pray in the Spirit. Number three. Huh? Speak. Put the word. Number four. Let her give thanks always. We said, which means we have to be Spirit conscious, or be conscious of the supernatural. Which means that you are in union with God. That's why you are called His temple. So we said the first is feed on the Word consistently. That you can't afford to have supernatural experiences only when you have maybe a program, a meeting. No, you have to feed on the Word consistently. Feed on the Word consistently. Make it a practice to feed on the Word. And I gave you the illustration between someone who cooks for others. That's a warning for pastors and preachers. You cook for others, and then they eat, and then you only taste it. There are people like that. They can minister to others to receive, for example, healing in their bodies. But when it comes to them walking in the light of the Word about it, they seem to be at sea. That means they are cooking for others, but they are just merely tasting it. Others are eating from it, but they are not. So we said you must feed on it yourself. And so I gave you a background that, for example, if you're a preacher, which is we are all preachers, I believe, but in the sense of you have to teach on Tuesdays, on Sundays, teach on, you know, there's a tendency that your study life will be more of how to preach it. And one of the ways you will know is when you are getting ready the sermon doesn't get to you. For example, if I'm doing a study, and I don't get, maybe, wow. I don't have times where I have to. That's why usually I like not to be with people when I'm studying. I like to shut the door. And I'm on the floor. I'm thinking, wow, this is, you know, that means I'm eating it, right? Or I have to give thanks. Remember one point on last week, I think it was Friday, one of those days, because I had to put off my phone and all that, because I had to think through, and, you know, I got to a point, I think it was chapter 3, Romans 3, and I stopped and I raised my hands and I worshiped God for over an hour. You know, that shows you I was eating it. You know, you could be a signboard and then others are getting it from you, but you are not going. So you learn to feed on it. Feed on it. Don't just cook it. Don't just smell it. Don't just taste it. Like a friend of mine back then used to say, it's not the preacher of the word that is blessed, it's the doer of the word. It's the doer of the word. So you feed on it. You feed on it. You can forget your sermons, but you don't forget what you have eaten, what you ate, what you put inside you. So feed on the supernatural. Feed on the word. Feed on it regularly. Secondly, we said pray in the spirit. Not in prayer meetings. Pray in the spirit. Pray. Because the word is spiritual food. The word is spiritual food. The word is spiritual food. So feed on the word, and then you find yourself conscious of the supernatural. Feed on the word. Get ready for what I call counterattacks. Get ready for shocks and surprises. Get ready because you're in the world. Get ready for things that will negate what you believe for. Get ready for things that are, you know, different from what you believe for. And so you feed on the word regularly. Regularly. You feed on the word regularly. And I said you also watch the things that come out of your mouth, you know, unconsciously. Things like, let's be real, you know, stuff like that. You say, you know, let's face reality. And you know, obviously you've been overwhelmed by thoughts on television, thoughts by friends, thoughts by colleagues at work, family. So let's face reality. Because you've spent time to think on it, so it became reality to you. That means you've been feeding on the wrong thing. So we said, feed on the word. Feed on it. Don't preach it alone. Feed on it. So I gave you counsel. Where you know, because you cannot say you are only feeding on the word, you don't study to preach. That's nonsense. if you are a serious Christian, you also study to preach. Because you have to present what you're saying properly. Okay? If you present what you believe, the way it's always on your mind, we won't understand you. You know, so you have to put in a way that we're going to understand you. Now, you mustn't put the cart before the horse. The cart before the horse will be, I'm starting to preach, not to feed on it. It's just like the way some people read. They read very badly. I had to call someone privately to cancel him on the way he responded to something I put on social media. I said, you have an intemperate attitude. You are in, and like Botox would say, people oftentimes read their fears into what you are saying. The fear they have. You know, sometimes they interpret what you have said in the light of their fears, not what you have said. So I said, it means that you read to reply. You don't read to understand. How you know oftentimes is you are slow to make conclusions. In other words, you spend some time to think about it, think through it, meditate upon it, then you are feeding on it. Feed on the reality of Christ dwelling in you. Don't just sing it in the song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And that's all the way. Whether you like it or not, human beings of every nation love music. So singing what you like doesn't mean you are feeding on the word in there. They're just singing. So ensure that you are feeding on the word, the first thing we said. Then you are praying in the spirit. Paul, Ephesians 6:18, praying always, which he said, in the whole arm of God. Finally, my brother, be strong in the power of his might. And he said, mention on the whole arm of God. One of them, the element of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. He mentions the preparation of the official preparation of the gospel of peace. He mentioned the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Ephesians 6:18. Jude 20 says, build up yourselves, O epokodomio, a word that Paul will use in another format in 1 Corinthians 14:4. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. 1 Corinthians 14:14, he says, if you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in tongues, your spirit prays, you understand, so fruitful. How is it then I pray in the Spirit, you understand? Sing in the Spirit, you understand. Which means that whenever you are praying in tongues, you are being active with your spirit. So pray in the spirit always. Pray in the spirit always. Pray while you're driving, while you're being driven, or both. You're walking, you're running, or the two together. Pray in the spirit always. You should not be able to calculate the number of hours you prayed in a day. Now you can have deliberate hours where you shut the door, pray, devotionally speaking. But there is a praying that all you are doing is keeping a consciousness of the supernatural. Pray in the spirit always. We said that. We said number three, put the word on your lips all the time. Put the word on your lips, not just as a song, not just as a confession written for you, but something you say even when you are unconscious. You know, there was a preacher like that, that a friend said to him publicly, he said, I've never seen you speak God's word outside the pulpit. I've never seen you. And the guy said, well, I don't think I have to. No, you have to. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, Colossians 3:17, do also the glory of God. There's word and deed. You can't do the word if you don't speak it. Put it on your lips. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate the word agar, and the word agar means to roar. It's like where we're in this room now. And then I want to disturb a conversation. Maybe you have a G somebody. There are third guys in the technical. Put the volume in the highest. And then they shout, ah! You know, and the whole place, gigi, 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 gigi. It's like when you go near the generator and it's making noise and you want to talk. Imagine you want to have a conversation. You now take somebody to the generator side. Let's go and talk. Let's go and talk. Then you now move to this, the generator itself, where it's making noise. Let's go and talk. The guy says, are you sure you're okay? I mean, we left everywhere that's quiet, which means the noise of the generator has overwhelmed you. But now there's a noise, that means that noise overwhelms all the other conversations. That is the word meditate, agar, to roar aloud. So you put the word in such a way on your lips that it overwhelms your thoughts. I'm going to repeat this for those of you who are pastors and preachers. There is a sense in which you'll be preaching the word and not putting the word on your lips for yourself. There's a sense in which you'll be feeding others and you are not being fed. So, put the word on your lips. We said that. Number four, we said, always have an attitude of thanksgiving. Anytime there's complaining and murmuring, I told you Satan is working on you. The scriptures are replete with instructions not to be anxious, not to complain. You know, did I say it on Sunday how I was going from Ikorodu to Mile 2? Was it on Sunday I told you that I got into the bus and Lord said I should be quiet and listen to the conversation? Was it on Sunday? Okay. And I heard the conversation and people were, and it's very easy to get caught up. They were complaining. Everybody has something to complain. I know there's a way they shifted the subject from the nation, and it was a military regime then, from the nation to arguments, to bus drivers, to families, to husbands, to wives. They ensured that they complained about everything, churches, you know. They just didn't complain about God eventually. At least I didn't hear it. So, that is, the spirit of murmuring oftentimes goes beyond one issue. You now start to complain generally, and you are dissatisfied. The Bible says, do all things without murmuring. Philippians 2 and 14, 1 Corinthians 10 warns about complaining. So, you already know that. The attitude of the born-again human spirit is to give thanks always. 1 Corinthians 5:16, rejoice evermore. 1 Corinthians 5:18, give thanks to God. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, giving thanks always. Ephesians 5:19 to 20, always giving thanks when you are filled with the Spirit. One of the attributes of being filled with the Spirit is you are always giving thanks. Colossians 3:17, giving thanks in 18. 17, yeah, 17. So, the attitude of giving thanks is a spirit-filled attitude. Whenever you are not in the mood of giving thanks, you have to get the mood by the Spirit of God. You have to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Give thanks. Learn to give thanks. Don't give thanks for evil, no doubt. Don't give thanks for things that are not done by God. But give thanks for things that are done by God and do it all the time. Don't get yourself in an attitude of, you know, complaining, always complaining, 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 you know, as a father, as a mother, as a boss at work, as a pastor, as flock, as, you know, everything, you are just filled with. They shouldn't know a Christian for always complaining. Always complaining. That's not good. One of the hallmarks of the Spirit-filled life is giving thanks. And the world has a way of squeezing us into his own mold, Romans 12 and 2. You can't complain and talk supernaturally. You can't complain and be conscious of the supernatural. In fact, one of the evidences that you are not conscious of the supernatural is that you are complaining. Because oftentimes what you are complaining of is in the flesh. You can't. So, you must take. I told the brother in the 90s, I said, you need to change the tone. I said, even the way you preach. We used to call him, he's my friend on Facebook now, I guess he's going to hear this one day. We used to call him Bishop then. So we called him Answers and Murmuring. If you call him like this, I almost mentioned his name. Brother Dan, so, Sensor? Just. And the reason why he was like that, because he came from a kind of dysfunctional home, the dad and mom, the mom passed away, the father remarried, and then stopped. And he always had, so he had this thing about, you know, life is not good, and all that. So when he got born again, I began to mentor him, he didn't change that. He got saved, but he never renewed his mind. So he was always complaining. So one day, what shocked him was, I had done a 2 weeks meeting for them. We called it Dunamis meetings then. So I taught them. So they didn't understand that I was equally having challenges, you know, then at my own family house, my family home. So one of the persons in the meetings, I finished teaching in the evening. So usually I'll just say bye-bye and I'll go. I'll usually dodge them to go. I didn't want them to see me off. So she said she was going to see me off. So I kept talking out of it, saying, you know, there's something about, she would hear me and say, keep going. So I was really wondering, in my heart I felt, what did this lady want? She now found out that I wasn't sleeping at home, that I was sleeping in an uncompleted building, coming to preach every day. Of course, she had to tell the others. And I felt, how come you never said it? You know, you'll have felt, boys, it's good to have said it. You know, just to say it and get the pity of men. But I was actually fasting and praying for. My mind was really on the meetings. So they now learned a major lesson. You see, when some people are not complaining, it's not because everything is rosy, it's because they are filled with the Spirit. They found out. This was some 24 years ago. Yeah. Around August or so. So, you need to, of course, there could be a bad day and things they just sent you a text from a company you had been doing contract for and they say, we've canceled it, you know, and those things can come at once. You think there's an attack. I mean, they just come at once. You know, there's an attack. What is going on? There's nothing going on. Alright? Just maintain the spiritual life. And just pray in tongues. And give thanks to God. Hallelujah. Your thanksgiving was never tied to a contract. It was not tied to those things. Your thanksgiving was tied to what God has done for you in His Son. Amen. Praise God. You know, one of the traits of the last days that Paul spoke about was the unthankful. Folks that don't give thanks. They don't give thanks. Someone was telling me, I have a bad day. I said, well, you really have no day at all? At least there's a day attached to it. What of no day? Do you get it? You know, I'm not trying to use that as a platform for giving thanks, but you know, just be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes get the devil mad. Go and preach. Get somebody born again. So he knows that this one is a forgot case. You can get somebody born again. You know, just get you are the architect of how happy or not happy you get. And oftentimes, why most of us get unhappy is because we are comparing ourselves. I mean, some of you have been with us in ministry for a while. I don't think I've ever said to you, look at that ministry. What are we doing? Have you ever had that kind of conversation before? Never. You can't even drop into the discussion. Because we don't do any comparison. We just do what God has asked us to do. And sometimes it's not announced. Sometimes it's not prominent. Just do whatever and you are happy. They have done God's will. So sometimes you're just comparing yourself. You look at your car, you know, a car you like driving. You saw your classmate, then you hated the car. That's what happened. Many of us loved our parents. We went to one uncle's house. And the kitchen was bigger than our own entire house. I went to someone's house like that. And I found every reason not to go back home. I said I had malaria. I said I was not. In fact, my mom said, I can't move my leg. He said, it was in Maryland. Funny enough, I passed by the house a few years ago. And I said, was this the house that was taking me to hell? He didn't appear like anything special again. I mean, that house, when I was going to describe it in primary school, I said, have you seen a house that is like, I can't even describe how it was designed. It's like paper was just quick squeezed and thrown to the floor. They said, I said, anywhere you get to. Of course, we're living in a flat. Three bedroom, one toilet and bathroom. The one that you will have to wait for your father and mother to finish before you use. So what would I get to a house? And then it's like paper thrown out. I said, if you see the kitchen, when you enter like this, you come out like that. Because our own just has one door. You know, so you can grow like that and you are comparing yourself. You see, let me say this. I know parents grew up telling their children they were all first. You know it's not true. I'm first. I was first. Everybody is first. So when they go for the old boys meeting, they say, so you were all first. All of you. So who was second? The teacher. Do you understand? But even sitting down and looking back, you know some of those things you were fighting for didn't matter again. Even as a senior in the boarding house, some of your juniors will be the ones giving you contract later. All these, kneel down there. You see that? It's just for a moment, but for a moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? But for a moment. So, I'm just talking even naturally. Whereas some people died over it. They cried over something that in a few years won't matter again. Much more, you are born again. You have eternal life. You have a purpose to live for. I've never felt like, oh, what am I? No, I have what I live for every day. When I sit down and I make money, it's not looking for what to do. Do you understand? It's not looking for what to do. I remember when we went somewhere, someone said, Pastor, we're thinking that 2 days you'll spend and know our country. I said, no. Whenever you overstay what God has asked you to do, you're on your own. I said, when we are done, we're on our way. He didn't send me to preach. And then when I'm done preaching, I'll go and ski. In fact, there was one that went, took us to go and watch Lion. I said to myself, assuming, oh, you're laughing, right? I said, what would I say I came to do? I finished preaching, they are blessed. they are blessed. Go home. You know? It's when you wait behind that you begin to misyarn. They say, ah, so this guy can misyarn like this. Quickly take your boss and start. You know, I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. Yeah, don't go. Say, let's go and say, we're thinking you come and look at. I said, don't worry. Some other time. Say, which time? I said, when we have not come to preach. He said, ah, when would that be? I said, that's a good question. Do you understand? Just, I have a purpose I live for. When I wake up in the morning, you know you are not purposeless. No, you are not. You are not. You know the reason why you can't even consider people say they are tired of life, they are suicide. There's somebody who is blessed because you are around. There are people who, you are the one they are looking at that, thank God, this is Jesus I can see. So, and I know. Do you understand? So people, the only reason why people look up to them is because of money. Anybody can look up to you because of money. Anybody. But it takes the supernatural to love the supernatural. So, learn to give thanks. Learn to give thanks that the healing has come. Learn to give thanks the power of God is working in your body. Learn to give thanks. Look back sometimes and remember how you were healed at some point and give thanks again. And give thanks again. Satan can't have the last laugh. You have the last laugh. You have the last laugh. So learn to always give thanks. Don't just sing in tongues in church and rejoice. When last did you, in your house, in your room, you let out a laugh? If it's all about a meeting, you need to be living here and having all of us stay here with you. But you know the Holy Ghost is in you. Let out a laughter. One time like that, some guys went to go and complain to my parents. There's something wrong with this, your son. Say what? He's always talking on the road. Then he'll just be laughing. Ah, is there a problem? My father said, that this boy, he has become something else. How can somebody be talking on the road? One day he said, take me to your cult meeting. Where you have... He said, you don't sleep? When sometimes I come close to you at night, you are taking your mouth going. He said, you don't watch television with us. You wake up. You understand? You know, what kind of life is this? Do you get it? So really, you know, it's the life that we have. It's the life that we have. We are supernatural men. We are supernatural men. So we're not giving to complaints. We're not giving to complaints. You don't say, Nigeria, this one, that. Mm-mm. Well, I thank God for our nation. Glory to God. That's nothing to do with the kind of leadership or not leadership. I thank God for our nation. Thank God for my business. Thank God for my career. Praise God. Do you know, you can just be full of thanks. Just full of thanks. Full of thanks. You know, there was something I said to one of my classmates. I said to them, because in my class, I'm the present president. I won't be forever. Amen. So, I now said to them one day, I just was led to share with them. I said, you know, at your age, you are now at the age where a lot of expectations will not be met. You know, when you are younger, you are full of dreams. When you start growing up, you are getting, those dreams start changing. It's like a guy, before he wrote his final exams in school, secondary school, the father said, write what you are going to get. He wrote A1. When he was through, he said, Daddy, can I have that constitution? He said, when he got to university, he said, what do you want? Everybody says, first class. After the first test in my faculty, people said, 2-1, 2-1. So I told my classmates, I said, look, don't let unmet expectations determine your happiness. Do you get it? And at this age, you know, you look at yourself, you won't want to take your children or your family to some of these meetings where you see other people, they just flew in from London. Hey, and then your children, they knew that they stamped your passport 8 times. And they told you at the embassy, don't apply again. Don't apply again. That, you know, I mean, I know someone who was told, he was told from a particular country, I don't want to give too much details, that must you come here by force? Imagine if they said that to you. Must you come here by force? Me too, I told him because he's close to me. I said, ah, Yusuf. Yusuf. So I told my friend, someone now called me. He said, what you said this morning shows you're a man of God. He said, it was a lifesaver. He said, I said it on my church platform. And it like it cured many things people were having in their heart. Unmet expectations. Becoming the determinant of your happiness. I said, no. Just thank God. Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Be full of thanks. You cannot be filled with the Spirit and complain. So when you are complaining, you are not filled with the Spirit. Of course, we oftentimes leak once in a while. I will have done it. Ah, said our fear, said our complaints. But you know, we can get ourselves back in the Spirit. And just talk God's word. And just talk God's word. Amen. Just talk God's word. You know, you have that symptom strong. And you know it's strong. You feel like, what's going on? Right? I say, what's going on? I say, thank God the power of God is working on my body. Thank God the healing is mine. You know, the symptom, thank God the healing is mine. Don't wind up in complaints. The complaint will do nothing. Complaint is yet to make anyone victorious. So why get involved? The fifth one I wanted to share this evening, actually, but it's not for, it's just short. Surround yourself with a supernatural company. There is nobody in this world that is greater than the influence he surrounds himself with. There's nobody. There's nobody. None. There's none. So, the kind of, look at how scripture teaches company. I'll give you just three examples. In Numbers 11 and 12, 11 really, when Moses was going to have the 70 stand with him in service and ministry, you know, they stayed together. They were in the same place. And the, except Elder and Midad, who prophesied after the tabernacle, they, all of them said the same thing. In 1 Samuel, chapter 10, Samuel told Saul, when you see a garrison of prophets come with half a timber, he says, join them. That is, say, and the Spirit of God will come upon you, shall turn to another man. So, he was told to just join them. Sometimes, just being around people that are filled with the Spirit influences you. Influences you. Now, you know, we're in a social media era. You don't have to see people physically for them to influence you. I was telling a pastor, in fact, I've said this to a couple of pastors. I said, when you notice, for example, that something is injurious to you, don't watch it. Now, as a person, whenever I start watching a documentary and they start painting sickness in glowing terms, I switch off. I don't mind learning about it, just the science of it. But when you start talking about this and this, I switch off. There's no way those things leave your mind. For example, you like watching movies. Nothing evil in watching movies. But I can tell you, in the last 10 years, the number of movies I've watched, I can count them for you. I can mention them. If I miss it at all, maybe 5, I can mention them. You should be able to know what you don't watch. There's nothing that's neutral. You know, watch the things you see. I love to read previews. Before I watch it, I'll see the preview. What's the preview behind it? If something glorifies Satan, how people are, they use voodoo on them, and it worked. And that's what you are feeding on. You will believe subconsciously that it can affect you. It will lessen your boldness with the supernatural. Solomon said that the wise walks with the wise, but the companions of fools perish together. Look at Acts 2. They were all in one place, in one accord. How? Why? Why? What's the importance of that influence? That's what I just said now. Sometimes it gets on you because you see it on someone else. And in humanity, how did sin spread? Sin spread by example. Romans 5:14. Sin spread by example. So, you are not above examples. Anything you are doing now, the way you are writing notes now, the way you sat down now, the way you are quiet, the way you worship, even the way you raise your hands, you learned it. You saw people do it. The way you preach, someone was telling me, how come when you have Holy Ghost meetings, you talk like Brother Tokes? I said, do you know since when I've been watching him? It's been a while. In fact, when we posted Reverend McHankins, and they were saying, they loved the meeting we held with them, and they said, and he said, this meeting is very rare. They haven't seen this. But Reverend Mark said maybe just in three places himself, Pastor, what's his name again? Then Sharon's, and then Brother Hagin. They now asked me, I said, well, this is our kind of meeting. They now said, Talks. I mean, what did you see? But Talks now kept quiet. I said, I learned it from him. They were shocked because he was carrying their Bible. I said, no, this was what we saw him do years back. Not just me, myself, and if you know my friends. So naturally, and of course, Kenneth Hagin, because I saw it, the way you teach is the same thing. The way you pray, the way you raise your hands, the way you learned it. So now, imagine surrounding yourself with people that talk down the power of God. You are going to learn it and act it. So surround yourself. Surround yourself with supernatural company. I was talking about pastors. And I told the pastor, I said, you know what? You already know that this person doesn't like your ministry. You know that every time he writes about you. I said, what you need to do is stop reading what he writes. I said, let me tell you the danger in it. Apart from the fact that you walk in love, when you get on your pulpit, you will be responding to somebody that is not in the congregation. And you will hurt your listeners because you are talking about something else. It will subconsciously guide how you study the Bible. In the same way, somebody, for example, attacks your pastor. And I say, well, the enemy of my enemy is not my... Better be stupid. You are very stupid. You get it. You are not so smart. It's like saying somebody doesn't love my father. Alright? He doesn't love my father. My father wrote something to me that I read before he died. I read it. He mentioned some names. I have not seen them like this. I don't hope to. It's just... Paul said to Timothy, he said, I'm telling you about so and so person, Alexander. He said, beware of him. If he has withstood me, he will withstand you. Jesus said, he that hates me can't love you. It's just simple. So, he's not smart. That you now see somebody, yeah, the person, you are saying, well, you are the one that knows what somebody is preaching wrong. What are you seeing it for? You already know it will be wrong. So, like Larry used to say back then, Larry, I'm also a friend of mine. He said, when you listen to error long enough, you start to understand it and believe it. That when you start saying, hey, really, and there's a sense here, and he's talking, he said it's in Christ. He said in Christ. And so you are caught. So I told that pastor, I said, take it off. Stop reading it. So you won't start responding. I mean, you've been here for years. You hardly find me responding to anybody on this pulpit. I guard my heart. So I told him, I said, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Or else your sermons will be built around persons. Guard your heart. Whatever will make you not walk in the spirit, for example, don't read it. What are you reading it for? So keep a supernatural company around you. Keep it around you. A company of the supernatural. People that, they talk the word of God. When you see somebody on the bed and he's not feeling fine, I say, how are you? He said, not really doing good, but thank God. And immediately the person talks the word. Thank God. Power of God is working. Effectively healing and the cure. You know, that already does something to you. Yeah. So us, oh, he has a lack. Say, well, thank God, my God supplies all my needs. I can't reach his. I just say that. Just says that my needs are met, my bills are paid, and you know, and his father is still working home. It's not like he has anything, you know. And he's not telling you so that I can give him. So the book calls scripture so that I can give them. You know, I don't have money to go home, but my God supplies. Come and take. that is Agbari. That's sensology. You know, no, don't do that. You know, so through that, they talk the word. You don't say things like, I'm just tired, or my disciples are not even learning. They are not learning. You don't know what's going on. Maybe God has not called me. Maybe God has not. There was a friend of mine that told me. He said, I stopped relating with him. I said, the day you said that you don't think you are called to the ministry, I knew we were not going to be friends again. Why would you say that? Because you were discouraged. No. We were all to be discouraged. But some of us are set in the course that we must follow. Amen. And we say we are not going down. We say our life will not go off. We have said that we are going to follow this path to the end. We have said that we will never fall. Even when you knew that there was trouble, I will never fall. You understand? So surround yourself with people that are full of the supernatural. Everything is bad. You know, I told someone 2 days ago. I said, everything you have said about pastors and churches, there is nothing positive. Why? What's going on? I said, what's going on? How many churches have you been to? Even if you are a drone. How many? You allow the media to manipulate your thinking. But I hear warned. In fact, I told another minister, I said, the way I was trained in ministry, I don't grant interviews. There was a year that somebody did a miracle at Oshodi. So the press, what year? 2006. Six. And the news magazine, was it the news? They came to us. I said, no, I don't talk to the press. Sir, the fellow said you are the one that failed him. I said, that's enough. If you want to hear me on any issue, come to the service. I'll speak from God's word. He said, no, we want to ask you some issues. No. What do you think about? No. Recently, there was another station that said, they wanted me to come and talk about, I think, giving the grace issue around the body of Christ. I said, I'm not going. The guy said to me, he called me. He's a popular podcaster. I said, I'm not coming. I said, I have a website. We have a website in church. Any issue you have, go there. Go there. No, I want to ask you, now what do you say? Now some pastors say, I just say, be born again. Brother Hagin never granted a single interview. He didn't. What do you love the media for? What are you doing with media? The media always looks for juicy stories. What will make them sell? You get it? And I'm not a marketer. Neither am I a market. You get it? That's it. What to make them sell? You know? So surround yourself with a supernatural company. The church of God is marching on. The word of God is growing. Hallelujah. So say, I don't even know what's happening in the body of Christ. I said, me, I just came back for those who are so pleased. Things are happening, oh. What I hear, things are happening, oh. Our website, you know how many downloads we have? Things are happening. Like someone you say back this, they say, someone say, we are praying for revival. I said, no, it's happening somewhere. Go and find the place. It is you that is having a problem. Some people don't have it. Go to where it is happening. You say, where is it happening? Come to me. Do you understand? So don't feed yourself with nonsense. Don't feed yourself with nonsense. Have a supernatural company. Imagine having a company of those who say, I just 32 kinds of righteousness. And I took notes. And then you take your own hyper grace. Godly company. Godly company. Not, why is this book this big? The best thing you now say, what is this gospel? You say, this is another gospel. This is a another gospel. Jesus. So I know, you know, I'm going to say study group assignment. You know, what about the person who says, man, every time I'm doing my assignments, I just get to remember God's word again. That's the kind of company you keep. Not, I don't even know. Must it be every week? No, it should be once in a decade. You go to work every day. You go to lectures every day. So the word should be what? Every other year. Leap year, we do the word. No. Keep the right company. It's supernatural company. That's why church meetings are very good. You know, of late, in a few travels, somebody had told me before anyway, that someone said there's a difference between hearing you on TV, watching you on TV, hearing you on tape, and seeing you preach. He said, I can't explain it. The guy said, I've listened to you well, and I know. He said, I said, yes. God makes it vital that we should have physical. There's a rubbing off that happens. I think I told you before. If you ought to be in a service, you didn't go, you say you listen online. Me, I'm telling you, you can never be blessed with that teaching. Me, I'm telling you. You can't. There is that rubbing off of being around people. I mean, I always tell people that, I mean, this is not something I say, something that I really like saying. But my core friends, of course, most of them are passed on. That's just for anyway. So, three. Something about our company then. Every time we met, had to meet, whenever we leave, we just noticed that there's not something that's stared in everyone. You are just there to obey God. You are there to, you know, do what you ought to do. That is a good company. That was basically it. One of us was going to a political office. I would say, what's wrong with you? We didn't say, well, did you pray about it? No, we are prayed. You say, you must be crazy. That is a supernatural company. So as we close, one, feed on the word. Feed on the word. Feed on the word. Feed on the word regularly. Two, pray in the spirit a lot. Pray in the spirit a lot. We said number three. What's number three again? Put the word on your lips. Four is give thanks always. Give thanks always. When all these have been done, you create a supernatural environment around you. You own your environment. And five, keep a good company. Keep a good company. See, because you are a servant to the world, you can't run from the world. You have to relate with the world. You have to preach the gospel, world, disciple people. But you know what? Have a company that is not the world. The company that keeps your attention on the power of the Holy Spirit. That commitment you have to God. You know, the supernatural company. They talk divine healing all the time. They talk divine direction all the time. They talk, you know, the power of God that delivers us all the time. They don't talk fear, they talk the power of God. You know, they talk commitment to the ministry all the time. They don't talk the crisis in the body of Christ. They don't talk the problems in the body of Christ. They talk about what God is doing in the body of Christ. You know, keep that kind of company. Be supernatural in your thinking and in your consciousness. Pray in the spirit always. Feed on the word. I'll repeat what I said. Don't be found cooking something you are not eating from. As you study, there should be times in your study that you will talk in tongues and go, my God, my God, my God. And you just pray. You took a stroll, just prayed. The word of God hitting the right place on your mind. Feed on it. Give thanks always. You know, sometimes, if you expect a miracle, for example, sometimes all you need to do is to remember another one. That's all. Just remember another one. When you remember it, you say, oh, wow, this happened by the power of God. It just gives you that it can happen again. You know, Just remember it. Just remember it. Just put it on your lips. Sometimes in giving thanks, Father, I thank you for what you did in 2019, 2016. Thank you for this. And you're just thankful. It boosts your confidence for another one. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues.